Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey, City Church, welcome back to More Than That. This past week has been one heck of a week for both Gus and I. It's just been kind of an interesting week getting things all squared away so that we can actually have some time to sit down and record. My week in the beginning, I had one of my, I guess you can call them bosses, come in from the ministry that I work with. So I was all kind of frazzled, and I honestly forgot that we had to record this. So, and then with Gus working out of town most of the week, it was just kind of working in with his schedule at as a chaplain. So wanting to make sure that we are respectful to that. So because of that, we are recording on Zoom. So Gus, you had pretty much all of chapter six, with the exception of a few verses, I'm pretty sure.
Chapter seven.
Yeah. And that's it. And a little bit of chapter seven. So, if you had an extra 10 minutes or so to really drive a point home, or introduce a new topic, what would you have said, and what would that have been?
I think a couple things. One thing I wanted to make clear, I think I alluded to it, and I don't think I did a very good job of making it clear.
Okay.
Kind of the beauty of doing this after home group, like they talk about it and like, oh yeah, I guess I assumed they made the connection. I didn't mm-hmm. make it clear myself, but when Nehemiah goes to see the prophet, and I should have pulled it up, Shemaiah, and the prophet, or he Shemaiah says, let's meet together in the house of God within the temple, close the doors in the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They're coming to kill you by night. Or, well, sorry, this is ESV. CSB says they're coming to kill you tonight. And I said, you know, that Nehemiah recognizes that that's a trap. And the question came up, like, well, how did it know? And, you know, I didn't state it. I realized I didn't clearly state it in my sermon, but the answer is because God wouldn't send a prophet with a message that betrayed his law, his word. And so the fact that Nehemiah entering the temple would be a sin. Therefore, he made the right conclusion. Well, this can't be a word of God because it's contradicting the word of God. So, I just want to make sure that was clear, because that is an important aspect of when we receive our mission. You know, we have input from other sources, and or just about our faith, and we have to discern whether or not it's true or it's actually from God.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing to take away is that God would never want us to do, would not give us a mission that would go against his mission. And so, you know, God wouldn't say, I think you should, take a job that would cause you to be, you know, unfaithful, or to be in an area that's unhealthy spiritually, or I'm just trying to think of random things that would either be sin directly or cause you to go down a path of sin eventually. So Just to be aware of that, as people ponder or seek God for their mission. The other thing I probably, well, other thing I wanted to dig into, and at the end of the sermon, I have a little timer. I saw that I was at 44 minutes. I was like, okay, well, I got to shut this down. So I literally needed 10 more minutes.
Perfect.
Yeah, it is. So what do we do in this space between, like, there are many people, and I can see in people's faces, like, what is my mission? And it's can be scary, like, am I in sin right now that God hasn't given me a mission? Am I doing something wrong? Am I not in the right place? Or, why aren't I hearing God and receiving a mission? So the what I would have gone towards is, obviously Jesus is our example for all things. And if we look at his life, which I alluded to in the sermon, and his what he focused on, there's God's mission, Jesus' mission, which was kind of twofold. It was himself, right? God himself and the church. So by default, that's everybody's mission. Right? We all should be pursuing God and pursuing the church. Now, we can get into the weeds of what is the church, because that's heavily debated. There's the physical church and its, structure, and the depending on, well, in our case, it's elders and deacons and, the church body and all that. In our case, city church, focusing on city church, or are we to focus on evangelism and helping the poor and the downtrodden and all that? And so, you kind of look at those as both ends of the spectrum. And what I love this quote by Charles Simeon. He says, "The truth is not in the middle, and not in one extreme, but in both extremes." So, we in especially in Western culture, like either or, black or white. What is it? What is it? Like us versus them. It's always a dichotomy. And I am proposing to listeners that, why can't it be both? Why, especially if you're thinking about the church as a whole, pursuing both things? So me as an individual, I may feel more called to serve in the institutional church, and be a home group leader, be serving in kids' church, like doing those things, some more so than others. And there are others that are, missionaries and, street evangelists, or, like Larry's very involved in the government and, reaching people, being, he doesn't use that as a vehicle. He is present and therefore a vehicle in those circles. And so you can see that balance where, especially again, thinking of the church as a whole, there are multiple missions that are all geared towards the church. And that's also where, like, individual mission and God's mission is kind of go hand in hand. So tying back into the prophecy from Shemaiah, if you feel like God is calling you to a mission that goes against evangelism and the church, it's a false prophecy. So So by default, well, if you're sitting there like, I don't know what my mission is, start with the church. Start with who in your friend group, coworkers who aren't believers, start praying for them. All those day-to-day evangelistic things, you can do that now while you're waiting. You can serve in kids' church. You can serve in kids' church, or you can serve in kids' church.
There's no soft plug there at all.
Sorry, it's we need help in kids'
We
church,
do. We do.
but and most churches do, so it seems to be a universal cry. Anyway, so while you're waiting, you don't have to be idle, is kind of my point. And you can be working on God's mission while you're waiting for your individual mission. And you'd be surprised at how they go hand in hand, how much they go hand in hand. I think of students who are leading at Crew, and is it in the institutional church? No, but Crew points a lot of people to the institutional church, right? They connect, worship, get out there, and make sure you belong to a church. So very much not anti, I guess, Big C church. So that was kind of my, at 44 minutes where I had to drop that pretty quick. And sorry, one more thing. When
Very good.
the point, the kind of thing that hits that point home is the fact of what does Nehemiah do after he's done building the wall? He starts establishing worship. Right? It's not just the wall. His mission always was God's glory. And so it what keep reading through Nehemiah, you see how very much the worshiping God was kind of we look at the wall as the goal, as it wasn't really. So it was the worship of God. So
Yeah, it's interesting to think like that the wall wasn't the goal, but worshiping God and giving glory to God was, which is interesting because it goes, I tie everything back to the first three chapters of Genesis. But it goes back to the first three chapters of Genesis where Adam and Eve weren't charged to just worship God the entire there for their with their like for their entire being. I mean, it was, but it wasn't like they were told to subdue the land. They were told to do all of these things. Like work is a part of the enterprise that is being human. And if we're not working towards something, which is for Nehemiah building the wall, then worship isn't going to be as to quote the New Testament in spirit and in truth. I'm horrible at quotes unless it's in the first three chapters of Genesis. So that could have been Paul. It could have been one of the Gospels. Yes, don't quote me on where it was. It's just in the New Testament. Google is wonderful. But that's just an interesting thing that, there's always work to be done, and just because you're working towards something doesn't mean that it doesn't have eternal ends at the eternal ramifications.
Oh, you just dropped
But
something in my eye.
you're
Keep going. I
good.
need to Google something myself.
That's all right. So I think that that's a really the verse 10 there, which is that prophecy from Shemaiah. And another interesting point, because the one of the things that I've really enjoyed is reading about perfect being theology, and how God is to build upon what Saint Anselm already established with the greatest conceivable being, that the greatest conceivable being has to be perfect in every way. So if God is to be perfect, then God can't contradict himself, because that would be an imperfection. So that was a I thought that was a really, really cool point. I just had to throw my nerdy theology twist on it. But so, because you're a soldier, so how does it work out with you? And I don't want you to get in too much into just war theory, because I know you can. You and I've had we've had that conversation a few times, I think. But how do you so it some people, and I can see where an objection or a red flag might be tossed up, like, well, you're telling me this, you're telling me to align myself with God's mission as much as possible, and that God won't call me to something that is antithetical to what his mission is, but yet he's called you to be a soldier. How, like, in soldiers' jobs, a lot of times whenever there is warfare is the taking of life in certain instances. How does that work? Because I one of the things that we as leaders in the church is we don't want to be hypocritical and say, hey, do as I say, not as I do. So how, without going into a full exposition of Sun Tzu's just war theory, like just the practical side of it, like how do you as a soldier reconcile a seeming or an apparent contradiction with mission?
Well, I guess in order to make sure that this isn't another sermon, we have to make some assumptions, make
Totally
sure
fine.
we're all on the same page. One is that killing, there are some cases where killing is okay. Murder is not, but killing is okay. And that debate goes back to some translations of Ten Commandments that says, "Thou shalt not kill." Actually, the word is murder. So, trying to squash that question before it pops up. And so one of those, you can go through killing, in warfare was one of those things that is okay. So now where I'll get into the weeds a little bit is, there's usually two philosophical ideas that get brought up when it comes to just war, and is I think it's jus ad bellum and jus in bello. What's that?
Latin stuff.
Yeah, and basically, when broken down, I forget which is which, but basically is the ends are just, and then the other is the means are just. And true just war is when both are applied. Now, the debate gets hairy is when one or the other are divorced, I guess you can say. Like you can have a unjust cause for a war, but fight justly. Or you can have a just cause, but fight unjustly. So, and I won't go into war examples because that's also what's going to cause a lot of other stuff come up. But so, in talking about my role as a chaplain, now currently we're not in any conflict, and I've had to wrestle with, what do I do? What would I do as a chaplain, in a circumstance where, you can only control so much. I can't control why we go to war. If the country calls, we have to go. So that whichever one you said, Ad Bello or Jus in Bello, Bellum is whichever one's the ends focus. Can't control that. So I, as a chaplain, can try to help the soldiers, help the leadership that is within my influence to fight justly. That's my role in the advising part. The other side is that there are believers and non-believers in the army. And so I'm called to be a minister to them. I just like, well, I won't say just like, in a similar sense, sent a missionary to a country that has some non-believers and believers. They're going there to minister, to uplift those who are believers, and to just love on and spread the gospel to those who aren't. So to try to say that the gospel should go across all the earth except for in the military, it seems kind of disingenuous. So that's why I'm there. That's how I have found rest in my role.
Yeah, 'cause it so I'd ask that because it just based on our previous conversations about it, you wrestled with it pretty hard in the past. So I wanted I 'cause and we also have former military in our congregation. So I just want to make sure that hey, we're all on the same page. We don't just support our military because it's just what we do. It's we support our military because there are just means for having a military and for what they do. And they need the gospel just as much as the people that we're in conflict with or we're not in conflict with. So one of the other things, and maybe this is something that we can get into. Actually, hold on a second. I just want to commend you on the little like quote that we had on social media. A focusless Christianity is a crossless Christianity. So I have this habit of sending memes to one of my friends, Noah, who so we'll send memes back and forth and like during the service. I did like when you said that, I was like, oh, that needs a meme. Or like a GIF or something. So I like sent him a GIF. It was Dave Chappelle just like dropping the mic. Like he didn't even like just sit there and drop it. He like threw it. It's like, oh man, that right there, you could have just said that and then just walked off and be all right.
Nice.
But one of the things that we talked about in home group and the cool part, like you said, was post home group, like you can kind of wrestle through a little bit more and talk about some things. But we talked about mission drift at our home group. And how prayer is Nehemiah's way to make sure that mission drift doesn't ever become a thing. So other than prayer, I wanted to step out back from like the super heady, spacey stuff and get down into the nitty-gritty of life. So we have our mission and we have God's mission. How would you suggest that we maintain that harmony so that we don't experience mission drift or a divorcing of our mission from God's mission?
Well, Sunday school answer, Jesus. But in all seriousness, Jesus, like the first thought that comes to my mind is Martin Luther said, I need the gospel every day because I sin every day. And the reason why we lose focus is because because of sin, we get distracted because we want comfort. And so we start seeking those other things than what God wants for us. we start losing focus because we want a distraction from our pain or our circumstances or like all those distractions. It's, the root of it is sin, and so we need to be reminded daily of the gospel and that and Nehemiah prayed. That is a humbling going to God saying, I need you, which is a form of the gospel. And daily preaching to yourself the gospel that you are accepted, you are loved, you are forgiven, all the lies that the devil tries to get you to believe every day. And for each one of us has a our own pitfalls, variations of those that we are more susceptible to, that get us to lose our focus. And so, yeah, it's daily, hourly, minutely, every second, making sure the gospel is in front of you, because that's really what's going to keep you on point.
And one of the other things to kind of build on that that you mentioned in the sermon, was that it's in our private devotional times that that's where the
Right.
compromise where the compromises tend to happen, and when we do experience that mission drift, where we say, oh, it's only, let's say you're working on the McShane reading pro Bible reading in a
Yep.
year, and it's like, oh, I can do that later tonight, or I have a good chunk of time tomorrow, I can skip today and just do it tomorrow.
Yep.
But then, that starts in the cycle of, oh, I'll just put it off, put it off, put it off. Much like the one of the things that I always tell my students whenever they're freshmen is like, hey, don't ever skip a class, because once you do, it becomes that much easier to do it. Unless you end up getting like a pass or something like that from your professor and they are okay with it. It is one of those things where it's like, don't do that, because it's going to, in the long run, hurt you. And it's kind of the same thing. Don't, if you feel like, oh, I can do this later, or I can do this tomorrow, like it's okay, like don't give into that little tick there. Like, just press on. It might be inconvenient, but the gospel's not a convenient thing. Fortunately, unfortunately.
And I mean that's a double-edged sword too. So, Satan can just as easily go, "Oh, you didn't read your McShane today. You're a horrible, like, God doesn't love you." And you, like, there are people who fall victim to that too. So having the grace to, to one, acknowledge, like, okay, I failed. God, I know you forgive me, and then get back into it. Seeking God's grace and have being gracious with yourself, because Satan would love nothing more than you to be overwhelmed and just give up. I've been reading the Extreme Ownership, and I've been on kind of a Jocko Willing kick lately. But he had a great point in his when he was talking about exercise and just disciplining himself. A practice that he picked up years ago was when he wants to take a day off, when he wants to have a cheat meal, when he wants to, like, slack off on what he should do, he tells himself, tomorrow. And then he goes, 99.9% of the time, when tomorrow comes, like, no, he's back on track. He doesn't want the meal, he doesn't want to skip a gym day that day. He doesn't, it's just that was that momentary time where something was going on and he really wanted, but he's disciplined himself to the point where, okay, no, I'm not saying no, I'm saying later. And There are circumstances he admits, and it makes sense that, like, no, you actually need a break. You've been overtraining, you've been exhausted, you're stressed. You need that break. But most of the time, it's that feeling, that desire passes. If you want to skip McChain, tell yourself tomorrow, read it today, and then. More than likely it'll pass and you'll be back at it. That desire will be gone. So go Jocko.
Yeah, that's yep, something's hitting me because that's quite literally the struggle that I was having today. I'm like, I want to go to the gym. I'm gonna skip it tonight just because, got so much to do with
Immediate conviction.
it. I was like, once you started into that, I was like, oh man, this is all right. I'll do something at least. Yeah. I'll do something at least tomorrow. I will. but yeah, no, it's just one of those things where I think that that's a really that I like that I that piece of advice. Like, if you want to skip, tell yourself skip tomorrow.
And the one that I've been using before I even heard Jocko's thing was, treat yourself like a kid. What do we tell kids when they don't want to use them? Just take a couple bites, or just give it 10 minutes, whatever. So for working out for me, when I don't want to, I'm feeling like kind of off, maybe I just tell myself, just do the first 10 minutes. And if I still feel like I need to stop, okay, but half the battle is showing up and getting the groove, and like, okay, no, I'm back, I'm good. And so that's worked for the last couple of years for me. So the Jocko thing was kind of like that to another degree. So just offer that to the listeners, take chew up the meat and spit out the bones.
Yeah, and I mean, if we're gonna do that for them a little bit, it's quite literally like, you have your most of the time it's almost ritualized, like it's in a certain days or a certain time of the day. And luckily we're humans and we thrive with routines. So if we break from that routine, it's going to be that much easier to keep that break within the routine. So if we keep that, then even if it's just like you sit down and like at our kitchen table, there's a like an end table type thing, like just to the side of it. And that's where I have a Bible in there. And it's one of those things where it's like, if that's where you keep it, just make sure you sit in that exact same spot. You know that the Bible is right behind you. All you have to do is sit down and you're just ready to go. We talk all the time, and you've been really good with this, with making sure that our heart posture matches our physical posture. And if you're tired in the middle of the service, it's okay to sit down when everybody's standing up. If you are ex super exuberant and you're just kind of a charismatic person just in general, and you want to raise your hands in the middle of a song because it's, it's really speaking to you, then that's okay. If you want to say amen in the middle of Raphael's preaching, please do it because that gives him that much more energy. so like it's something where if our heart, if our spiritual is matching our physical, it's going to be that much easier. So, we all, so I'd like, unless you had something else to add to it, we both have Good Friday stuff to get to tonight.
Yes, we do.
so I don't want to keep you, from your family. And I have some other stuff that, we have to get ready for. So just want to remind you all that are listening that this is not a replacement for being in the service on Sunday, especially this coming Sunday because it's Easter. And it's not a replacement for the Sunday sermon or serving in a local church. So we Gus and I are just imploring you to get involved in a local church. If you are not a part of a local church, but in the Williamsport area, please come visit. We'd love to be your church home and see how you can really figure out what your mission is for God and how to learn how to align the mission that God has given you with his mission. So Gus, thank you again for taking us through all of 6 and a little bit of 7, and we will see you all next week.
God bless everyone. He's risen.
He's risen indeed.